Today on the pastor study, we'll be in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse number 6. And of course, our study is entitled, He Will Not Fail Thee. He Will Not Fail Thee. And it comes from our verse in Deuteronomy 31 verse 6. So please turn there with me, if you would, Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse number 6. The Word of God says this, Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. I know this broadcast is a little bit behind the times, but of course I want to talk about on the pastor study today the tragic events that took place there back on Tuesday, September 11th, 2001. I think it's a day that none of us will ever forget. There are certainly many words that could describe what happened on that day. We've seen it played so many times in our minds. When two commercial airliners with passengers on board slammed into the Twin Trade Towers in New York City. And then shortly after that, another commercial airliner crashed into the Pentagon. It has been described as a tragedy because thousands of lives were lost. It has been described as a horrific act because of all the innocent lives that perished. It has been described as the greatest act of terrorism in the history of mankind. It has been described as attack on democracy and all free nations of the world. It has been described as an attack on the American way of life and freedom. It has been described as an act of war against the United States of America. Some have even said that what happened on that day was a wake-up call from God because of the wicked nation that we have become. Because we have become a nation of tolerance. A nation that tolerates the murder of the unborn. A nation that tolerates the destruction of traditional family and promotes and supports the right of sex perverts. A nation that tolerates and promotes living a sinful lifestyle. A nation who no longer worships the God of the Bible, but who worship the God of money, sex, and drugs, and education. Because we have become a nation whose foundation is no longer based on God and the Bible, but greed and education. Because we have become a nation that no longer elevates God in His infinite mercy, but man in his achievements. Some had even said what happened on that day was a failure of our country's security network. Failure of security are our nation's airports. Failure of national security intelligence agencies gathering. Some of us even ask ourselves, how could this happen to the greatest nation on the face of the earth? Some may even ask, how could God have allowed this to happen? as our nation recovers from this great disaster and at the same time prepares to go to war, we need to ask ourselves, how can we as a nation and individually deal with all of this? I believe the answer, my dear friend, can be found, as every answer to every problem can be found, in the Word of God. I believe it all has to do with trust. The question we need to ask ourselves, who are you placing your trust and your faith in? I'd like us to begin now and look at 1 Timothy chapter number 6 for a moment. In 1 Timothy chapter number 6, I want us to look at verses 6 through 11 of 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 11. The Word of God says this, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." Yes, I believe as a nation, we have become a people who have the love of money, who have followed after and coveted the wrong things, have erred from the Christian faith, and yes, pierced ourselves as a result with many sorrows. And that's what happened on that eventful day on September 11, 2001. It was a day of sorrows, a day we'll never forget. But we're commanded to flee from these things. Flee from the love of money, amen, and covetousness, and to be content with food and raiment, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. We know that as a result of the terrorist act on this nation, that the World Trade Center in New York City was totally demolished. And these twin towers, the business and financial affairs of the world, was carried out and conducted each day. In some ways, these towers, my dear friend, were a symbol of man's love for money. And we just saw in our passage in 1 Timothy chapter 6, the Bible warns us against the love of money. Man's worship and trust of man's achievement, amen? That's what we're worshiping and trusting in now as a nation. Man's false sense of security that money can buy. I'm sure the people in that building, of those buildings, and on those aircrafts, felt that they were secure. Despite what Billy Graham said about all those who died in the disaster going to heaven. The tragic fact is this, that all the money generated by the business affairs conducted in the World Trade Center could not save the people in the aircrafts and many working in the towers from spending time and eternity in a lake of fire. What people don't realize was only God's grace, God's mercy, amen, that many more did not perish. Jesus warned us in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12 and verse 15. Jesus said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth." My dear friend, it is not placing our trust and hope in our nation's wealth and resources that will get us through what happened and what lies ahead. No, it isn't. The Bible reminds you and I who our hope and trust should be in if we're going to make it through this difficult time in the days ahead. Jeremiah reminds us of this in Jeremiah chapter 17. In Jeremiah chapter 17 and verses 7 and 8. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is." Jeremiah, the Word of God tells us, blessed or happy is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. And this is the result in verse 8. "Who shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." The Bible tells us we'll be blessed, we'll be happy if we place our trust in the Lord and hope, our hope in the Lord. We'll be like a tree, amen. We'll flourish, even in good times and bad times, and even in times of extreme heat and adversity and famine. Will continue to flourish and to bear fruit. By the way, let's see what God thinks about towers in His Word. Look it with me in the book of Genesis, chapter 11. In Genesis, chapter 11, we have the account of the building of the Tower of Babel. We're told in Genesis, chapter 11, beginning in verse 1, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, Go to, let us make brick, burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, Go to, let us build us a city in a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be spread abroad upon the face of the whole earth." You know, God's instruction to Adam and Eve was to be fruitful and to multiply. They were to spread out. But here we have a group of people in the Word of God who are disobedient to what the Lord had to say. They congregated in the city, amen, so they wouldn't be scattered abroad. And when they get together, it wasn't for good, it was for evil. They say, let's have a building project. Let's build a tower up to heaven, amen. As we think of these towers that have been destroyed there, the twin towers of the World Trade Center. Amen. A man-made thing, trying to reach up to heaven. and probably a majority of those people that were on those airplanes and in those Twin Towers were trying to reach up to heaven on their own efforts, amen. But we know you can't do that. It's not you reaching up to God that saves you, but it's God reaching down to you and I and lifting us up. Then we read, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. The Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. In this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. So God sees that it wasn't good that they were of one language, what was going on. They didn't use that unity, that one language, for good. They used it for evil. So he says, go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, and they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build a city. See, they didn't want to spread out, but God spread them out, amen. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. You know, there's coming a day, my dear friend, on this earth at the Lord's return, at the second advent, when all the towers on this earth will fall. Look with me in the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 30 with me. Isaiah chapter 30. In Isaiah chapter 30, we want to read in verse 25. Isaiah 30, verse 25. And there shall be upon every high mountain and upon every high hill rivers and streams of water in the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall. Yes, my dear friends, there's coming a day when the towers, all the towers, will fall. Let's look together in Jeremiah as we move on in our study in Jeremiah chapter 17. In Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse number 5. In Jeremiah 17:5, the word of God says this, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. So the Lord, it says, there's a curse on a man that trusteth in man, and maketh the flesh his arm. In other words, instead of trusting in God, trust in man, leans on man, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Look at in Psalm 146. In Psalm 146 in verse number 3, the word of God says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man in whom there is no help. We're told not to trust in man, not to trust in the government, not to trust in anything but the Lord, because we cannot find no help in man. The only help that will come will be from the Lord. Psalm 147 in verse number 10, he delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord doesn't take delight, amen, in man's strength. You know, in all these things that he uses to defend himself. Because instead of trusting in the Lord, again, man is trusting in man. Beside the World Trade Center in New York City being destroyed, part of the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. was also destroyed, amen? And if you think about it, the Pentagon is the center of where the business of our military is carried out. The Pentagon is a symbol of our nation's defense and security. The sad fact that the nation with the greatest armed forces could not stop what happened that day on September 11th, 2001. The greatest defense and security system in the world failed. It could not prevent many souls from ending up spending eternity in a lake of fire. My dear friend, it's not placing our trust and hope in our nation's defense and security systems that will get us through what happened there on that day and what lies ahead. No. Again, the Word of God tells us where our trust and hope should be placed. The center verse of the Bible, Psalm 118 and verse 8, we're told it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And then we read in Psalm 147 verse 11, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Look in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. Here's a good scripture to remember during this time that this country is going through. In Isaiah 41 and verse number 10, fear thou not, God tells us, the Lord tells us why. For I am with thee. He says, fear not, because I am with you. Be not dismayed. Why? Why shouldn't we be dismayed, dear God, after what's happened? He says, for I am thy God. Not only am I with you and I'm your God, he says, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. What a comforting thought. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. The Lord God himself. And he tells us, he comforts us in this verse of in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my salvation. As we conclude our study today, remember, my dear friend, the promise of the Lord. As you and I go out each and every day, remember we started our study, He Will Not Fail Thee, with Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6. Remember this promise of God. Be strong. Be strong. Even in this time of adversity, we can be strong. Be strong and of good courage. We can have courage. Fear not, he says, nor be afraid of them. And the reason we don't have to fear or be afraid of the enemy, he says, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee, and he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. My dear friend, maybe the defense of this country, at the national airports all over this country, and our military will fail us, but God won't. He'll not fail us. We can count on him. He won't forsake us. Amen. We can count on him. King David said this, in 1 Samuel chapter 20 in verse number 3. He said, there is but a step between me and death. There is but a step between me and death. I believe that none of those people who stepped on those airplanes or stepped into the World Trade Center or the Pentagon expected to die that day. But the fact remains, and it's a sad fact, the fact remains that many thousands died that day. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. All that died on September 11th, 2001, have faced the judgment of God. Those who died believing in their heart that Christ died, he died for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, are in heaven right now. What a glorious reunion with the Lord they're having right now. But the sad fact is those who died, yes, those who died without accepting by faith the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary and nothing else for the payment of their sins, the sad fact is they are burning right now in the lake of fire. The place of where they are now makes that explosion on Tuesday, on that Tuesday, September the 11th, 2001, look like a 4th of July fireworks display. My dear friend, if you're listening today and you're not saved, remember. Remember what the Word of God says. There is but a step. There is but a step between you and death. Amen. It'll be too late then. It'll be too late for you to be saved. There are no second chances to get right with God after death. Do it right now. Do it right now. Don't put it off. Don't put off being saved. The scriptures tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 in verse 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In a day of salvation, I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't put it off, my dear friend. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not. Won't you come to Jesus Christ by faith? Get down on your knees. Call upon his name. Ask him to forgive you for your sins. He'll forgive you. He died on that cross to save you from going to that lake of fire. Won't you come as a little child by faith and receive life eternal itself? Well, that's all the time we have on the pastor's study. I urge you to be praying daily for our country, for our leaders. Amen. I just pray that many would be saved. Many would be saved as a result of this tragedy, that some good would come out of it. This is Brother Gino Cassieri, thanking each and every one of you for joining me today for the pastor's study. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God may richly bless each and every one of you.